Hey, hey, it's JJ on BS3 Network. K-Fitz is coming at you real quick. Let's talk some hockey. There's the man.
What's up?
Chilling, man. Chilling, quite literally. It's cold. How are you?
Oh, it's not too bad here. I mean, it's chilly, but I mean, it's not cold.
It's 66. I lied, but I'm freaking cold.
Okay, man, bye. What a run the Stars have been on lately, huh?
I mean, yeah, they canceled out a two-game losing streak and started, what is that,
a three-game streak right now.
It's three games winning streak now.
Yes, it is.
Wow, am I that slow?
And last night's win was probably the most satisfying of the three games so far.
Bro, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, because, yeah, I don't want to go off on a tangent. Yeah.
Seems like the team has, over this last three games, have really kind of gelled and come together, especially after Duchesne was released back and could come back out there. I think he scored a goal in at least two of the last three games, if not the last three.
Oh, shoot. We got multiple streakers then.
Including this young Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah. He took the words right out of my mouth. That, friends, is why this man is one of my co-hosts, because he knows.
Well, another thing I know is guess who's leading the team in goals right now?
Wyatt.
Wyatt Johnston. You are correct, sir. Seven goals.
Seven?
Yep. And him, Pavelski, and Robertson are leading the team in points right now, each with 13.
Whoa. Him? Hold on. Johnston, Pavelski, and Rob? What?
Yes, sir.
Wow. All right. That's crazy.
And like I was saying about Matt Duchesne, we were discussing this the other day. They better offer this man a contract. He has been playing his heart out for this team. Right now he's sitting with 5 goals, 6 assists, 11 points. I mean, what more could you ask for someone like him coming in?
I mean, the more I see him, the more I start to wonder, and you know I'm a curious guy to begin with, why would he get bought out?
You know, that's the whole question. I don't understand it, and I don't think he understood it either. If you read some of the interviews that they had with him when it happened, I mean, he was just about as surprised as the rest of the league. I think we got a steal in him, and I think we need to make sure that when it's time for us to extend his contract, that we extend it.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, heck, it's going to be a steal anyway because Nashville's still paying him.
Exactly. And on top of that, you know, like I said, he just really seems to have gelled with this team. It's kind of like, you know, last season we always kind of felt like there was a different energy when Robo was on the ice.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it's like that energy has transitioned over to Duchesne. And it's like when he's on the ice, no matter what. It's just they're just a whole different team.
Truly are. I mean, and maybe it's the new face and new place thing. Like, when you're the new kid in school, everybody flocks to you, you know? And I mean, I guess when you're the new face of the new club or team or whatever, you know, you're just kind of like, all right, what do we have here? And then, you know, you find your place. I mean, I've been in that position when it comes to school, but I can't speak for the professional level, but you know, you do kind of find a way to fit in, and when you get in and fit in, you're good. And I mean, it's a gamble because of the financial aspects of it, but I would sign him long term.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
I mean, like, I know they don't do, it seems like anyway, they don't do long-term contracts. At least not of the 5-year variety, but excuse me. I would sign him for at least 5 years. You know, he's maybe not. I would sign him over Suter. That's a fact.
Yeah, I would definitely sign him over Suter. He's been a much more productive player, I would say, than Suter, especially this season.
I mean, you know, before somebody jumps in and says, "Oh, well, he's Suter's a defenseman." It doesn't matter. Like, I have
No.
hiccups. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter, man. If you have your position and you're bringing something to it, then you're
Well,
valuable, you know?
and you know what? And you can throw that out there all you want to about him being a defenseman, but there are defensemen out there that are doing more for this team.
True. And that trade rumor thing that I sent you, what do you think about that?
I don't like it.
What are we?
I don't know. I think there's better options.
What are we, 10 games into the season? 10 or 11?
No, we're actually a little more than that because right now we're 10-3-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. So we're like roughly 14 games in. It's too
Yeah,
early for
we're
the trade
10-3-1
rumor.
right now. So yeah, we're 14 games in. It's too early to even start discussing trade options.
I'll go ahead and say it. I like where this team's at.
I do, and you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, somebody had made the comment in the preseason about the Stars not being able to score other than on the power play. Well, you realize up until last night's game, we had actually only scored 4 power play goals, and then all of a sudden, last night, we came out of nowhere. I mean, we were scoring on everything. Our special teams were on point last night. You know, you had Pavelski with the first power play goal. Then you had Foxa with a shorthanded goal. Then, let's see, we had Johnson with a power play goal, Dadonov with a power play goal. I mean, Dadonov. And
Yeah.
then Robo comes out with 2 power play goals while we were on the major from the hit that was on Harley that took him out. I hope he's doing okay. Have you heard anything about him?
I haven't, no. I need to look into it, though.
Yeah, and then you had Johnson with another shorthanded goal, which gave him his 7th. And like I said, Robo with back-to-back goals, he was on the hat trick watch last night, you know, getting his 4th and 5th goals for the season.
Hang on. So Johnston scored 2.
Correct.
Robo scored 2.
Correct.
When was the last time the Stars have had more than one player on hat trick watching in a game at all? Do you know?
I don't know. Honest and truly, I couldn't tell you. I can't think of the last time that
That's.
happened. I think the last time it happened, I know it was last season, and I want to say it was between Robo and Rope Hintz were the two that were on Hat Trick Watch at the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right. The whole point of the question was not like to get you thinking on it, but in a way, yes, to get you thinking on it because, you know, you can start a streak of that.
Right.
I mean, you very well could, especially with Wyatt storming onto the scene. The scene? What am I thinking? Wrestling? This is hockey. Dude, Wyatt is, I think he's the next big thing. You know, Robo's kind of cooled off. He's drawn the coverage of the defenders. You know, that I think Wyatt might be the next one to kind of find the spotlight, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Right.
As Robo kind of gets double teamed, man, hence doing his own thing as well. I mean, I kind of feel like Wyatt is going to be the next guy to just kind of say, hey guys, I'm here. And we said from the get-go last season that he would be one to watch. Did you ever think that he would be leading the team his sophomore season?
No, I, you know, honest and truly, I thought he was.
The way Hintz was playing it at the end of the season,
last season, I figured Hintz would be kind of leading the team a little bit. I figured Robo might have slowed down a little because you knew he was going to get a lot of attention, especially after having back-to-back 40-goal seasons. So you knew that he was going to be, you know, in the spotlight whenever we're playing against teams, and it's shown. But no, at no point, if you'd have gone back to last season and told me that Johnston was going to be the team leader right now in goals, I would have told you you're crazy.
Yeah, I probably would have too. I mean, it makes you wonder because, you know, who's next? And as the season wears on, you know, you got Steele, you got Smith, Delandria. All three of those guys seem like they alternate positions.
Yeah.
Is one of them going to end up getting traded, or do they stick with what they have? You see, a game like that, if we can get a few more out of them, it throws everything up in the air.
It does, and it's kind of one of those situations, kind of like where we were at last season. How much do you want to change this team, especially now that it seems like they're actually starting to gel and get things going, especially on the special team side?
I wouldn't change a thing. I really wouldn't. You want to? Let's throw a Wedgwood in there too. He's doing pretty good lately as well.
Yeah, you know, he really is. Actually, I was kind of looking at both our netminders numbers. Of course, you know, it's going to be slightly skewed because Ottinger's played, of course, more games than Wedgwood. But even still, you know, both of them are, you know, doing pretty well. Wedgwood's sitting right now at 3 wins and only one loss. And another thing that, you know, I'd like to point out is we've had a lot fewer overtime games this season, which is definitely something that we've needed.
Yeah, but I don't know if they have that killer instinct yet.
I don't know. They kind of put that on display the other night against Minnesota.
I mean, yeah, but what about the night before? Like, or was that against Minnesota? They were up 3-1, and then 3-2 happened real quick.
No, that was against
Edmonton.
Edmonton. Who they've got their own little turmoil going on right now.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that out loud.
Their whole coaching staff is upside down right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing the Stars are kind of solid at a good coaching staff. And they're doing almost exactly identically well to last year.
And except actually, that was against Winnipeg. I'm sorry, where we were up, and then all of a sudden we were.
Oh, that's right.
It was 3-2. Yeah, it was Winnipeg, but still, back to old Edmonton. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in that organization right now.
No, not at all. And there's a former Dallas Star who's kind of fallen off the wagon that plays over in Edmonton too. His name's Jack Campbell, and a lot of the blame's put on him, you know, for the goalie situation there. He's down in San Diego, I want to say now, in the AHL. And, you know, he's kind of stinking it up there too. So, I mean, that's one thing that the Stars, I can firmly say that the Stars are actually really good at is defense and goaltending.
Right.
You know, if you have an off day with Wedgwood or he gets hurt, you can throw in Matt Murray. And, you know, same with Jake. You know, Jake gets hurt, you can have Wedgwood and Murray as well.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't touch a thing. I wouldn't even add Dumba, like the trade rumor said. I mean, you got Lindell. Who was it was Haskinen and was it Suter that was the first two? First line D pair? Hold on, I gotta look that up because that one of the defensive pairing actually shocked me. And I think it was Suter with Haskinen. And I can't remember if it was Winnipeg or Minnesota that I saw it. I think it was Winnipeg. Yeah, I know. Take notes. That would have helped. But, dude, that's a good team here. It's shocking. 5-3 against Minnesota. Let's see. Where was Winnipeg? Are you there, by the way? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Ooh.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it was. It was yesterday. Haskinen and Suter fit really well together, in my opinion.
Well, what I like is it seems like Coach DeBoer is trying things outside of the box.
Yeah. And what's crazy is no matter what he picks, they all fit together.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. Have you ever thought between last year and this year that there was one person just playing for themselves? Because I thought I saw something about Edmonton when we played them the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Edmonton's problem is they're not playing as a team. They're playing for themselves.
Right.
So do you ever get that feeling when you're looking at the Stars?
No, and in fact, once again, I'm going to put that towards the Matt Duchene thing. I mean, if you look at Matt Duchene, he's one of those that he could have very well come in and been one of those that's playing for himself because he is playing for a bigger contract. And mm-hmm. when you see him play, number one, his play is selfless. Like, he is not out there, you know, trying to do everything on his own. You know, he is involved in every play while he's out there pretty much. He has taken hits. He has delivered hits. And he has scored goals when given those opportunities. And like I said, it's so good to see because this team seems like it is a team. It is not a bunch of individuals out there trying to showboat or do what's best for them individually. And it's what's best for the teams.
It's wild to me, dude. Like, any one of them can step up and make it all about themselves, and they don't at all.
It really is. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we're you know, back at top. I think we're two games ahead right now of Colorado, which we can extend that here in the next couple of games, because we do have them coming up in Dallas. And I'll be honest with you, Colorado's been kind of on a downward skid here recently. So, you know, if we're going to, you're talking about killer instinct. If they wanted to demonstrate a killer instinct, they need to demonstrate it over these next two games, especially against Arizona and Colorado, because number one, those are both divisional teams, you know, division rivals. And number two, you get an opportunity to go up even more points wise as well as games. And if you can keep these games from going towards any kind of an overtime or anything like that, it takes you out of that risk factor when you get towards the end of the season of, oh, shoot, are we going to make it? What position are we going to be in? How is this going to work, you know?
Yeah, fully agree there. If I want to jinx it, which I don't, you know, I would say that the Stars, they look like a cup contender already.
They really do. You know, we're 5 points ahead of Colorado right now.
5 points? What?
Yeah. They're at 16 points. We're at 21.
Wow. Okay, we need to start piling up points. And we need to start piling up points against Vegas, too. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Vegas is kind of still out there, though. Vegas is we're not too far behind. We're only 4 points behind Vegas.
Well, that's a good sign.
It is.
That's a real good sign. And, I mean, you know, you could sit there and make fun of Arizona, too. But, you know, you don't want to look at any opponent and be like, yeah, we should play up or down to them. You should play the exact same way you do against, let's say, Pittsburgh as you do Arizona or Colorado in Arizona. You know, we've got – I mean, Minnesota was a good team. I'll be honest with you. The numbers don't speak anything to me. You know, I look at them and I know, based on last playoff season, Minnesota gave Dallas a run for their money.
They did, and we're only one season removed from that, and there's not that huge difference other than, you know, they don't have the Dumba for defense, which was, I think, probably one of the keys to them, you know, doing so well. He was also, in my opinion, the keys to why the Stars beat him, you know, after that hit that he laid. So, but, you know, I mean, they're not too far off of too much of a different team than they were just last season, kind of like the Stars.
And speaking of Minnesota, hey, person that said the Stars can't score on Minnesota unless it's on the power play, if you don't want them to score on the power play against your team, maybe you should stop putting them on it.
Well, we scored in almost every aspect last night.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so we scored twice shorthanded. So they were on the power play. So are we just not supposed to do that?
I mean, they were just looking for points to harp at in the preseason. We'll be honest.
Of course.
But I mean, if you're going to take shots at them, you know, you may not want to let your team put themselves in a position for that, because, you know, the one thing the Stars do better this year than they did last year, dare I say, is, well, I mean, it's a little brave to say it, but I think they capitalize a little bit better on chances. You know, and the 5-on-3 power play, I think it was for like a half a minute or whatever it was. No, it was the 5-minute power play. For a half a minute, they were sitting there passing it and passing it and passing it. And while I know the cycle can draw somebody out of position, man, There were a couple of times where I just screamed at the TV and I'm like, shoot it! Because, you can't sit there and just waste time passing, passing, passing. There was 30 seconds left on the 5 minute power play where you could have had one more goal. And to me, we're going back to that killer instinct, man. Yeah, they're starting to have it, but do they have it? I don't know. They
I don't
could.
know. Robo was on it when we had that 5 minute misconduct in
Yeah, that.
the at the start of the third period. With 3 minutes left, he was able to score not once but twice on that power play.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. They could have scored. I mean, the way the commentator made it sound, during the preseason, that is. Dallas should have scored like eight of them on the power play.
Yeah, you would think.
Oh no, the Stars can only score on us on the power play. Okay. Yeah, that's true. But, it's also your team's fault for putting them on the power play too.
Well, and if you want to know, in my opinion, where we have improved the most over last season to this season, I would say it's our penalty kill. I think our penalty kill unit is, if not the best, one of the best in the league right now.
Huh.
We do not give up very many shorthanded goals.
That's wild. Ha, that's a bad pun too. My fault. Sorry. I wasn't
But
even thinking. That is
I mean,
crazy.
you gotta understand, the whole reason that you're on a power play is because the opposing team has done something. And 9 times out of 10, I hate to say it, whether the Wild want to admit it or not, 9 times out of 10, a call is going to go against the Dallas Stars versus Minnesota, unless it's something egregious like the hit on Harley last night. Case in point, the hit that Dumba had last season, that should have been a major. And I still to this day, I mean, I've watched it still. I mean, I go back and watch that every once in a while. And it still blows my mind that that was just a minor. And I mean, not even, no, I don't even think he got a minor out of it. Yeah, no, there was no penalty call on that. And it was an egregiously nasty hit. And I've seen less get more. But because, and I hate to put it this way, but I think because it was against Dallas, had that been against, say, Boston, or even I'll even go as far as saying even the Golden Knights right now. I think that would have been called. That would have been a that would have been a major, and Dumba probably would have been ejected out of the game.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, because I don't want to say they favor the better teams on the stat sheet, but yeah, I mean, when you hear things on social media where they have the NFL, I mean NFL, the NHL refs hot micing, where they say, oh yeah, we'll make it up for this, this, and that. I'm not going to get into specifics because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it's all over social media, YouTube and everything, where the referees have said, oh no, we'll make it up, or oh no, it's this player because of that penalty at that point. They do. I mean, look at the Calgary and Dallas series. What was it, a couple of seasons ago now? You could tell that the one referee being from Alberta wanted Edmonton and Calgary in the playoffs because every little penalty or everything that could have been a penalty on the Stars was called. And that's one thing that I hate saying because I'm one of those guys that, well, don't leave it up to the refs then. But it seems to me that they try to pull somebody up or down based on preference sometimes.
Oh, definitely. And I don't even necessarily have to put it as preference like that. I think that, I think these referees have favorites, and I think it's I don't mean to put it out there this way, but I think the league has favorites.
That's a given. They wanted the Vegas Golden Knights to win the cup because Vegas is the darling and the NHL experience. You know, hey, they got the Raiders now. Why couldn't they have hockey doing great things too? You know.
Well, look, whether they'll admit it or not, all of these sporting leagues are in cahoots with each other. And it's very evident in a lot of things. And yes, you can trace this back to bad calls and things of that nature. But Las Vegas is a market that these leagues are trying to push and promote. With the Raiders moving to Las Vegas. Honest and truly, if you'd have gone back 10 years and told me that the Raiders were going to move to Las Vegas, I'd look at you and said, "You're smoking crack." Because honest and truly, Vegas is just, it's a gambling town. To me, I've never viewed Las Vegas as a sports town. And now all of a sudden, they are trying to. And I think it's because they've seen the popularity of the, UFCs and things of that nature that have gone into that town and have drawn these big gates and things of that nature. So they're trying to push these markets. So yeah, I mean, it would not surprise me if one of these days we found out that, the sporting, whoever's in charge of their sporting community there for Las Vegas didn't maybe pad some palms in order to get things to go their way for these sporting teams. The Raiders, don't get me wrong, they've got a following, and that following is going to follow them. They followed them when they went from LA to Oakland, and then when they went from Oakland back to LA, and they're still going to follow them even in Las Vegas. So, that's a team that's already got its established following. So they don't need to come out right away and win the Super Bowl or anything like that. They're going to be a big market just because they're the Raiders. Now, don't get me wrong, if that were a smaller team that hadn't really done a lot yet, say a team like, we'll just throw the Jacksonville Jaguars out there, that is an expansion team that hasn't done a whole lot yet. And, I've had a couple seasons where they've gotten close, but they hadn't made it. Say they were to have moved to Las Vegas, I can almost guarantee we would see bad calls and things like that, and calls that are going their way because they want to build that fan base. Not saying that Jacksonville doesn't have a big fan base right now, but it's certainly not nothing, not anything like the Raiders or like the Steelers. Those are two teams that just have, or even the Cowboys. These are fan bases that are already established. Now, Dallas would not be happy, but let's just say for whatever reason, Jerry Jones woke up this morning and said, "I'm tired of being in Dallas," and moved them to San Antonio. Dallas Cowboy fans would still be fans of the Cowboys, even if they were in San Antonio, just because they're not fans because of the city they're in. They're fans because they're fans of the Cowboys. Same with the Raiders. Yeah, they prefer them to be in the city because that's where they're at, but they're still going to be fans because it doesn't matter. So I think that Vegas got some huge calls that went their way in a lot of games and things of that nature. And we'll just see where they're at here in the next few seasons.
I saw somebody say that the Vegas Golden Knights are starting their dynasty era on Facebook. And, given that they won the Stanley Cup, and what was it, their third year?
I believe so, yeah.
And they made it to the Stanley Cup finals in their first year. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Why? Arizona Coyotes, they too were quote unquote an experiment. And look what they're doing. They can't even have find an arena for crying out loud.
What is going on with that arena situation?
I don't know, but even the current arena that they're in now wasn't really happy with them. I mean, for crying out loud, if you look in social media, man, they're going down a, I mean, what do you call it? A makeshift locker room that's covered in tarps?
Yeah, I think you sent me that video last season of the conditions in Arizona. Yeah, it was a locker room. There were no walls. It was just tarps that were up between the two locker rooms.
And I'm going, what? Why is there all this love and respect for Vegas? But, you know, people say, mind you, people say they don't need hockey here in Texas. But, you know, Arizona, you could throw that in there too, because on one end of Arizona, it's snowy and mountainy and whatever. The other way, it's the desert, yes. But, you know, if you're gonna treat Vegas like that, where's the love for Arizona?
And I'm sorry, but I will have words with anybody that says that, Texas doesn't need hockey. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, come on now. Are you really? You're freaking kidding me? This is
Hockey
ridiculous.
doesn't
Of course,
belong in Texas.
hockey does belong in Texas. There's actually a huge following for hockey here in Texas. Go to a Texas Stars game and tell me there's not a huge following.
Man, I'll tell you what, go even further down the league list. Go to the ECHL, go to the Allen Americans.
Yeah.
They're owned by the Ottawa Senators right now. And I'll tell you what, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I absolutely love that team. You know, there's great community outreach. The players are really cool, they're really skilled, they're ready, willing, and able to work at their craft and do whatever it takes to get there to the big leagues. And you know, it's a great team. There's not any bad. Okay, hang on. Tangent alert incoming, possibly. If you were to tell me that hockey didn't belong in Texas and we had all across the board crappy hockey teams, I might agree with you. I might. One, we don't have the temperature to keep the ice in perfect condition. I get that. Two, there's not as much fan support for hockey as there is the Cowboys or Rangers and Mavs. I get that. But do you understand? You got to understand that is that the fan support that they do have across any league here in Texas is probably a little bit more diehard than any other league in Texas. I've seen Cowboys fans across all social media go, oh, I love the Cowboys, but I can't watch anymore because of this, this, and that. It's this player's fault all the time. It's that player's fault all the time. Well, okay, so here's the thing. If it's that person's fault, that player's fault, and they still have a job, then it's the management's fault. You know, it's oof. I will say this. It feels like at this point in time, until one of the Texas teams in football does something big, maybe the NFL doesn't belong in Texas.
No, I will not go that far because my Houston Texans are doing it. They're doing something this season.
They're doing all right, but they're not doing two finals in 3 seasons all right.
We're just getting started, though. We've had some
Man,
bad coaching and bad office and front office management.
I choked because of that. Wow. When did they come into the league?
Well,
I
yeah, I
will.
mean they've been in the league since I believe 2003,
Let's see,
2001.
if you're gonna laugh at any Texas sport, laugh at the football. No offense. I get that Houston's rebuilding and, you know, they haven't been that good since J.J. Watt left. I'll say that. That was their prime, at least in my opinion. Because they had, I believe they had Hopkins back then too, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh yeah, we had Hopkins. You know, the bad part about Houston as teams, and I don't want to get too far on a tangent, was, you know, you have to have certain pieces to the puzzle to be a winning team. So we would have seasons where our defense was amazing and our offense was trash. Then we have some seasons where our defense was good, our offense was okay, but we were missing things in special teams or whatever, or, you know, so we never had that cohesiveness where it seemed like all these pieces of the puzzle are starting to finally come together. And this season right now, it feels like that. We finally got a franchise quarterback, and he's doing phenomenal, and he's making stars. That's the surprising part. You know, people can sit there and talk about, you know, Bryce Young and how many weapons he's got and how many weapons C.J. Stroud has. Well, nobody knew about those weapons until this season, until C.J. Stroud made them weapons. You know, Tank Dell, yeah, he was touted about coming out of the University of Houston. Those of us that had followed his career knew how good he could be, but anybody outside of that, anybody outside of Houston that hadn't followed the University of Houston or anything of that nature, they didn't know anything about Tank Dell.
Right.
Nico Collins hadn't had a season yet where he's gotten more than 500 yards, and he's already well above that this season. You know, so that's another one. Brown, who's a former Cowboy, wasn't doing anything, and all of a sudden now he's one of our premier top receivers. Why? Because C.J. Stroud. Schultz. Yes, Schultz was a good tight end in Dallas, but he was on a downhill keel. And a lot of people were actually kind of surprised that Dallas didn't push a little harder to re-sign him. And yeah. I was ecstatic when we got him because I knew he was going to be a weapon. And sure enough, he's a weapon. So, you know, these are guys that, yes, some of them are weapons, but the others in our wide receiver, in fact, coming into this, that was one of the biggest complaints, is that we don't have a marquee wide receiver. We don't have it. And in fact, there was a lot of people pushing for us to try to re-sign DeAndre Hopkins because they felt like we didn't have a wide receiver core. And then when we didn't re-sign Hopkins and he wound up going to Tennessee, everybody's like, oh, well, look at the mistake we made. We messed up. But you know what? Our head coach and our front office, they're pretty dang smart. They saw what's going on. They know what's going on. They know what we need. And you know what? Sometimes bringing in somebody like DeAndre Hopkins, who was great in his heyday and maybe not as good as he, you know, he's kind of lost a little bit of his step and whatnot. I will always love Hop. You know, he was one of my favorite wide receivers. He still is. But, you know, when you see what C.J. Stroud's doing with the weapons that he has around him, you just can't second guess that. So, no, I'm ecstatic for football here in Texas.
You know what? You just helped me make a point too. Because number one, Houston seems like they are ready for a hockey team. And oh, by the way, hockey doesn't belong in Texas. Houston wants a hockey team?
I would love to have Houston have a hockey team.
There's the belief right there. The fan belief, the fan hope. Boom. And hockey doesn't belong in Texas. You know, that was one of the spots that they tossed around for the Coyotes. Houston, what was the other one? San Antonio, too?
San Antonio, yeah. In fact, I am still to this day amazed that we haven't gotten an NFL team in San Antonio yet. It just, I don't understand it. They have the Alamo Dome there. It's already ready to go. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, in my opinion, yes, I understand with all the stadiums and things like that, but you could create an expansion team or move a team into San Antonio for the NFL. And yes, eventually you would want a stadium built, because I understand that's kind of their thing. But you wouldn't have to. You've got the Alamo Dome. It's already there. You start off in the Alamo Dome and you go, you build up from there. But it's already a fan base that's already in place.
Same for hockey. All you'd have to do is put all the ice stuff into that Alamo Dome. Boom, you got a hockey arena.
I mean, look how popular the Spurs are.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say one sport doesn't belong in Texas, because, you know, we're almost ready for them.
I agree.
If somebody did want to go into the Alamo Dome, I bet you we'd welcome them, whoever it is, another NFL team, another NBA team, whatever the case. Hockey. I mean, shoot, the Houston Aeros were a thing. That's a hockey team, for those that don't know. Who else? Corpus Christi, I think, still has a team down there. The Ice Rays is what they're called. If Corpus Christi can have a minor professional hockey team, man, you can't tell me hockey doesn't belong in Texas. There's hockey everywhere. I mean, heck, everybody's beloved University of Texas Longhorns. Guess what they have? They have a hockey team.
Yep.
SMU, UNT, up here. Hockey teams. Come on, people. Yeah.
It's growing in popularity here in Texas.
I think it should be the most popular sport there is, because, one, it's not hard to gain momentum if you do it the right way. And if you have... okay, let me backtrack. Because in hockey, you have a way smaller salary cap than you do in any other league, because of the league's popularity, the income, revenue, whatever. You get the point. But the smaller salary cap means that you have to manage better. Which means, to me, the better GMs are in hockey. What's that saying? A little bit goes a long way?
Yeah.
They can make a little bit of money, whatever that little bit is, go a long way into the success of a team. And, you know, that's one thing that Vegas, the Golden Knights, have done. They had a bunch of misfits the very first season go straight into the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, whatever happened the second year, I think, yeah, they got beat by the Stars. And then they won the Stanley Cup. It's management. You know, yeah. And Texas, I don't care what you say about the temperature and atmosphere and landscape or whatever. All it really needs is fan support. And, you know, we're ready, willing, and able to jump on anything that's brought to us. I mean, heck. The XFL still has a team here in Dallas.
Yeah. And I believe they have one. We also have one in Austin. I mean, in Houston.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. And Houston survived. Actually, the whole XFL survived when The Rock decided to chip in.
Yeah, and I think they just merged with the AFL.
So, oh, that's an even better thing. Okay. For hockey to grow in Texas, they already have AHL teams here. They already have ECHL and NHL. You know, what if, and there probably, well, there is, there's the NAHL. You know, you can feed more teams into the Texas hockey culture. You really could. And I guarantee you, no matter what league it is, people will jump on it. And the thing about the Texas people is, you know, I mean, the Houston Texans fans that I know, K-Fitz, right there. The Cowboys fans, you know, we are rabidly dedicated.
Oh, yeah, we are passionate.
I mean, I love this guy to death, but I will take pot shots at him all day long because he's a Texans fan. And he does the same for me. But we turn around, we hug each other if we see each other. So there's that.
Of course.
Like, don't tell me hockey doesn't belong in Texas.
You know, now to segue into a fan base needing to be there, our fan base needs to be there for these next five games because we have got some doozies coming up and all at home.
Oh, I was just looking at that too. Got Calgary.
Every team we're playing in this home stretch it has a winning schedule right now or is, you know, above 500. You know, Arizona is probably the worst of it right now. They're 7-6-1, but they're on a one-game win streak. Colorado's 8-5-0. They're on a two-game losing streak, but Colorado's a dangerous team. Then we've got the Rangers, who are 11-2-1.
Oh.
Then we've got the Golden Knights, who are 12-2-1, and I'm sorry, we do got Calgary, and they're the only team of this five-game stretch that are even in a losing situation. They're at 4-8-2, but even still, that's another team that don't look at that record. They can jump up and get on you in a heartbeat.
Oh shoot, they absolutely love to give the Stars a hard time. Like, at any point and every point they possibly can, they love to be a thorn in the star side. Calgary does.
You know, this five game streak right here, this is going to be very telltaling of where this team is right now and where they can be come playoffs time. Because if we can... Let's just say if we can edge four out of the five games and win four of these five games, that's putting us in a pretty good position. You know, I would love to sit here and say we're gonna beat the Rangers and the Golden Knights. Honestly, really, if I were to pick the team that I think we could beat, I think it would be the Golden Knights, just because the Rangers are that's a tough team.
Oh yeah,
and I just feel like we usually fare better against the Golden Knights. Even, you know, we've already played them once and it was a close game. It certainly wasn't a blowout or anything of that nature. And that one was in Vegas. This one's going to be in Dallas. So, you know, perhaps we edge them on this one. And, you know, there have been times, especially last season, where we had the Golden Knights number up until the time we were in the playoffs and then they kind of had our number, but still. You know, I would love to come out of this five-game win streak, come out of it with four wins and one loss, or even, I mean, I would love to see a five win, but, you know, if we could earn four wins and one loss out of this, man, I'd be over the moon.
I'm right there with you, and I think, I mean, they've beaten the Rangers in the past before, too, you know. One of these games is winnable. That's the crazy part.
Really, it is.
And you know, the downfall of them, as any other Dallas sports team, is the fact that they might overlook one of these opponents at any time. And that's when they lose. You know,
right.
There's fans that have said, okay, well, call me when they beat a good team. Well, here's your good team streak, if you want to call it that. I don't know what else to call it. And, you know, the Stars, to me, they're starting to turn it around and not play up or down to their opponents. I think maybe. They're starting to learn how to play for each other. And I'll be honest with you, the only games I'm scared of are going to be Calgary and Arizona.
Yeah. Because those are those teams that the Stars could fall asleep on because they're focusing on the others.
And yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they're going to play up or down to their opponent, possibly, because they have a history of that. What they really need to do against all these teams is start fast. And dare I say, end it fast. They cannot sit on their hands.
No, they need to do like they did to Minnesota last night. Stop waiting to the second or third period to start scoring these goals and score a few, if you could at least get 2 goals per period, you got a good chance of winning.
Bro, and they actually put pucks on the net. They
Oh, yeah.
Outshot Minnesota.
I was shocked at that, too.
What in the world? And, let's go back a little further. Columbus was when this thing started, right?
Right.
They won, and then they snowballed a little bit from there. Well, all you have to do is Minnesota's proof. If you want to beat them, just throw pucks on the net. That's all the Stars are missing, and that's crazy. I never thought I would say that. And yeah, if trade deadline was next week, I wouldn't trade a single soul on this team.
No, I think they're all doing phenomenally well. I mean, like I said, you got Johnson who's leading the pack with 7 goals. Followed behind him, we've got Pavelski who's got 6. Robo, Hintz, Duchesne all have 5 goals each. Jamie Benn's got 3. Haskinen's got 1. Seguin's got 2. Dadonov has 4. When you're looking at this team across the board, this is one thing that I mentioned to you. It doesn't seem like it's just one player who's really taken off with this thing. It's spread out, which is something that you really want to see. Wyatt Johnson's leading, but with 7 goals, but still, you still got players that are right there with him in the Pavelskis, and you just know that Robo's going to have a hot streak. You just feel it's coming. It hadn't hit yet, but it's going to come. And another player that can have a hot streak is Roope Hintz, and you know that his hot streak's going to come. Both of those are sitting at 5 goals each, so over this next stretch, we could see some fireworks come out of some of these guys, and then. When you're talking about defensemen, I hope Harley's okay, but he's got 3 goals on the season. He's one of those that he's been Johnny on the spot in a couple circumstances, as well as Mason Marchman. We've got some really good, players out there, and I wouldn't try to get rid of any of them, to be honest with you. Yeah, I just don't see anybody that I want to get rid of just because of where they fit in this team, not only during, regular 5-on-5 play, but also where they fit in our special teams.
This team seems like a team that if it came down to a 7-game series against Vegas again, I bet you this team beats them.
Oh, I think we could outlast them. I definitely do.
And if it was a close series, which, okay, if that's what it takes for y'all to win, go for it. They beat them in 7, if not 6. What do you think?
I agree.
I started an accidental argument with a friend of mine because he said that the Stars were a contender, and the best team in Dallas to have a shot at winning the big game, which, I did misunderstand it. And to begin with, I wasn't ready to see that because it's so early in the season. But, this team is far and away way better than last year. And I didn't think that was possible. To be honest with you, all it took was Matt Duchesne.
Yeah, and honest and truly, I think that Boston game would have been a whole different game had Duchesne been in there. Oh, you got to sure, remember, man. He was out for that game.
Oh, yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, then you got to believe that Colorado coming up. Duchesne knows him. He wasn't Av.
Exactly.
What?
We were 3-2 against, Boston. So, you know, we very well could have won that game. And I think if we'd had Duchesne in there, we might have won that game.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a case of shoulda, coulda, woulda. And I think we have – do we have him one more time this year?
Yeah, I believe we do.
Well, I mean, if we can keep him healthy and keep him out of the way of a cheap shot.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the whole rest of the season might be gravy, baby. That's crazy. And yeah, the telltale sign is going to be this next stretch of games. We're on Thanksgiving-ish coming up, you know, the little break before. Oh, dude, I can't even think. This team, just with one player, is far and away better than last year.
I tell you what, come February 19th, 20th, we're really going to find out a lot about this team.
Yeah.
We have a couple of back-to-back games. Are you ready for these two back-to-back games?
What you got?
On the 19th of February, we've got Boston. On the 20th, we have New York again.
The Rangers?
Yes.
Oh, that's a 1-2 punch if ever there was one. Oh, brother. Brother, brother, brother. When was the last time, or when was any time last season where they had a back-to-back game and they won both?
Oh, I'd have to look at last season, but I know we had one that was pretty major, if I'm not mistaken.
There might have been one where we won both games in a back-to-back. But you knew if you won one, you probably weren't going to win the next. And I believe the Stars are doing better at that this season. I'd have to go look at that too, and I might just write about it because I kind of feel like an article is in the works here. That was a heck of a back-to-back series we just had, and we won them both.
Yeah.
That, to me, tells you a lot about this team, too.
Well, to start the season, we went back-to-back and won both those games.
This season?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, we did.
At the very start of the season, we beat Calgary and we beat Edmonton back-to-back.
Oh, dang. Well, yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean, this...
Oh, I'm sorry, not start the season. Start the month, excuse me. Start this month.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, it's still the start of the season. So
Talking about start the month in November. November 1st, we beat Calgary. November 2nd, we beat Edmonton. Both of them 4-3, 4-3.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's one thing they can already say that they did better than last year. Because I swear on my last breath, any time that the Stars had a back-to-back at all last year, they won one, lost one. Or...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, there you go. I'm going to look that up because I want to write about that. I feel like the whole team has something here. And whether or not we do make it through Vegas or whatever the case... does not matter right now. What matters is they're building momentum. They haven't had 35 overtime games in a row with 15 overtime losses. There's something different about this squad.
Well, a positive is, number one, we're coming off that big win against Minnesota. So spirits are going to be high.
Yes.
We've got Arizona tomorrow.
Yes.
Then we have a 3-day break. So we're off the 15th, 16th, 17th. Then we come into the big part of the stretch where we have Colorado on the 18th. Then we have a day break. Then we have New York on the 20th. Then we have a day break. Then we have Vegas on the 22nd. Then we have a day break. And then we have Calgary on the 24th. And then once we get through Calgary, we have a three-day break, and then we're back on the road again against the Jets on the 28th.
This, yeah, I'm kind of salivating. Wow.
So for early in the season, this five-game stretch is actually pretty important.
It really is. You got divisional, you got standings, points in the matter, well, that matter. Like, it would help them tremendously to beat the Rangers. It really would.
Yeah.
Colorado would be a divisional thing, and it would be, you know, just kind of slapping them down a little bit.
That would, yeah, be, you really want to beat Arizona and Colorado because those are divisional.
Yes. And please, please, please don't sleep on any one of those teams. I don't care if you think they're bad or not, and if you think that the win doesn't matter because that's a bad team. I've seen that more than I care to admit about another team with a blue star on them. Don't sleep on any of the teams. They're there for a reason. That, you know, that drives me crazy.
Right.
This team is not what it should be. And no, they beat this team because they suck. No, they beat this team because the game clicked. Maybe because they suck. Maybe. But you got to remember that, you know, well, ooh, for the Stars even, let's take Winnipeg. You know, we have them coming up again in the next stretch, right?
I believe so, yes.
So, you beat them once. That's your foundation for the next game. Take exactly what you did, if you can, against them the first game you played them, and beat them again. It doesn't matter if you think they're worse or not. You know, it takes going through the motions, going through the practice, doing everything that you did in practice in the game. That's what makes a good team. I firmly believe, huh?
For sure.
I firmly believe that it takes a lot of cojones to say that any player that's in the NHL or any other league in the majors sucks. It takes major cojones to say that.
Yep.
Because if they suck, they wouldn't be there. And man, I don't know if I can ramble on anymore.
Well, I'm sure you can, but unfortunately, I can't stick around for it. So we're going to go ahead and leave it at this. I want to focus on Arizona. I think we beat Arizona. I think we beat them pretty handily. I say it's a 5-2 game.
5-2?
Yeah.
Let me throw a curveball at you. Who scores for Arizona?
Oh.
I knew that was going to hit you.
I'm going to go with Keller.
Good pick.
And
that's a really good pick.
Let's see here.
You go Keller twice. Maybe he's on hat trick watch.
No, I'm gonna say Keller and Carcon are my two goal scorers.
And for the Stars?
For the Stars, my five goals, I'm gonna go with, like I said, I think Robertson started getting kind of his streak. So I'm gonna go with Robo. Johnson's gonna continue his streak.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Hintz with two.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say Matt Duchene with my fifth goal.
I'll go. I want to see three different players on hat trick watch. I know it's wild, but the way they're heating up, it could be. So I'll say Robo two. I'll say Wyatt with two. And I'll say I would absolutely lose it if I was right. What about Duchesne with two? And then Keller with one. 6-1.
So you're going 6-1.
It's very, very out there, which is the point. That's just my line of thinking. But if they're heating up like I feel like they are and like we feel like they are, yeah, 6-1.
Well, I would definitely be happy with either one of those outcomes. We will find out tomorrow night. So until then, I'm going to leave you with the Go Stars.
Sounds like a good place to leave it here, too. Thank you for your time, man. Thank you for the time on BS3 Network. Guys, we're out. Go Stars.
Those stars.